the fall of man, God had a perfect plan. To fellowship with us was his desire. But Adam disobeyed, to sin became a slave. Now a perfect sacrifice would be required.
An offering must be made, a sin debt must be paid, so God and man can reconciled be. So Jesus said, I'll go, because he loved me so. He shed his blood and paid sin's penalty.
To die, And though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die, and I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. He could have called his holy father and say, take me away, please take me away. He could have said, I'm not guilty and I'm not gonna stay, I'm not gonna pay. But then he walked right through the gate and then upon the hill. And as he fell beneath the weight, he cried, Father, not my will. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. And I'm the one to blame. I cause all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown.
Thank you, Miss Karina. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15, and then go to, leave your finger there, and then also Mark chapter 16, we'll read a chapter over. Thank you for coming today. Visitors, guests, we appreciate you coming. You could have gone to many other places, but you chose to come here. We are honored that you would be here. I do want to congratulate Pastor Myers. This past Sunday, we took a vote, our church, and we had 100%. On the ballot that we call him to be our pastor. We thank God for what he's done in the last 4.5 years, and I look forward to serving with him for the next, whenever the Lord comes back, if he tarries, till I die here. Thank God for our church. I thank God mostly for what God is doing in our church in the lives of our people. We have great people. Thank you for being faithful during this time. And thank you for just being behind Pastor Myers and being behind our church, the vision of our church, and what God is doing here. Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, the Bible says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, apologize. Verse 26, and the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and they were that were passed railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from that cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he save others, but himself cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. That they that were crucified with him reviled him. When the sixth hour came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabathi, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And they say here that all the sins of the world would rest upon Christ's shoulder, and God is a righteous God, and he cannot look upon sin. And at that moment in time, he took the whole sin of the world upon him, and God could not look. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he called Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it in a reed and gave to him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Turn over one more chapter here to chapter 16 and verse 1. And Jesus has died here. He gave up the ghost, and they've prepared his body and they've put him in the tomb. He was there 3 days and three nights. And in verse 16, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and brought sweet spices, and they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, there came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, 'Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?'" Can't even say the word. "And when they looked, they saw, and the stone was rolled away. It was very great. They entered and saw a young man sitting in the right clothes and white, a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And they said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified.'" I like this here. He's risen. He's no more here. "Behold the place where he laid him." It says, "But go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said unto you, the resurrection is one of the main doctrines in the Bible. Because if there's no resurrection, our faith is in vain. If there's no resurrection, there is no hope for tomorrow. There is no hope for heaven. If there's no resurrection, let's eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die. No morning of the year brings the feeling of hope and encouragement to the hearts of many like the resurrection morning of Jesus Christ. And none would question that here in 2018, in our world, we need hope. You see our culture, and you see our world, you see our country is bombarded by agendas and bombarded by just wrong and sin. We need hope. Let me say this, the hope of America is not going to come with our politicians. The hope of America is not going to come by going out and protesting those, though we want to be politically involved in our country and do everything like that. But the hope of America is in ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls and in people sitting in good churches like we have today. The hope of America is in our ladies and gentlemen in our world that are Christians, that stand up and proclaim the truth and get back into the Bible. The hope of America is revival through us getting right. Yet when Jesus arose from the grave, he planted the only sustainable hope that there could be, and that's the hope of heaven. There's a psychologist, John Cleaver, the main emotion, he said this, the main emotion of American adults who had all the advantages of wealth, education, and culture is disappointment. Those things don't bring you a fulfillment. Those things die and they go to the ground. Yeah. The only time that brings fulfillment is our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. Some might say, "I don't believe the resurrection. Maybe the body was stolen. There was a conspiracy. Mary and the other ladies might have took it. We just read the stone was very great. They could not have themselves rolled it. And not only that, the Roman soldiers were there guarding. Oh, maybe the Roman soldiers took it. Why would they want to cause uproar there in Israel? Oh, maybe the disciples took it. Maybe some conspiracy. They did this." No, let me say this. The only true fact is he's not there. He's risen from the grave. A Christian lady. And you say, "Oh, I don't believe that." It doesn't matter what we believe, it happened. A Christian lady who did a lot of traveling and she was scared of flying, always brought her Bible with her. She went there and she sat there and she had her Bible next to her. And there was a man sitting next to her and says, "You truly believe that book that you're holding there?" She says, "Yes, I do. I believe every word." So do you even believe the time where The Bible says that there's a guy that got swallowed by a whale. She says, yes, every word of it. She said, that's just silly. How can you believe that? And how humanly possible can that man survive in the belly of that fish for 3 days? He says, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. He says, how about if he's not in heaven? He says, well, did you ask him? It doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is what's fact in the Bible. We have proof of the resurrection. The gospel gives eyewitness account. The gospel gives not only eyewitness account, straightforward account. The gospel gives four different accounts of the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. There's proof of the resurrection because of the empty tomb. See, you go to the grave of Buddha right now, his body is there. You go to the grave of Muhammad right now, his body is there. You go to the grave of Confucius right now, his body is there. You go to the grave of the different dictators like Pol Pot, his body is there. You go to the grave of Hitler, they don't know where he is yet, but I'm pretty sure his body is there. You go to the grave of Jesus Christ, he's not there. He's not there. He's arisen from the grave. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. Oh, I love the song. He lives in my heart. You see, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You see, I pray and I seek him and he comforts me. And he's there. You say he's just that's just your figure of your imagination. No, no, my brother. No, my friend. He's there. Oh, we believe because of an empty tomb. The resurrection is true because of the empty tomb. The resurrection is true also because of the numerous resurrection, post-resurrection appearance. You see, he showed himself to Mary and the women. You see, he showed himself to Peter. He showed himself to the apostles in the upper room. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He showed himself in the book of First Corinthians chapter 15 to a whole company of believers. Over 500 people at one time. Don't tell me that this is false and this is just made up. Over 500 people at one time. And then lastly, to Paul on the road to Damascus. He called Paul out. He says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he called Paul out. He showed himself to Paul. Oh, we don't. The resurrection is not only true because of the empty tomb and the numerous post-resurrection appearance, but a changed life, probably the greatest one. You see, Peter was a denier for Christ, and he became a great preacher. Paul was a leader of persecuting the church in the early days, but he became the Apostle Paul. See, Joe Esposito, our founding pastor, was just a regular teenager seeking to just please himself and doing something and just living life. But one day in South and Cherry over there, a preacher came. He doesn't even know who he is. And preached and witnessed and there by himself accepted the Lord as his Savior. And let me say this, that's the changed life. Because of that, his brother came and received Christ, and our pastor, Steve Myers, came. Hey, there's a changed life. Oh, I was just a little skater in Massachusetts. Couldn't wait to come to California. Couldn't wait to go visit Compton. It's like, man, Compton, yeah. Got off the plane, and I saw the first time in my life I saw pine trees. What are they called? Palm trees. I'm like, man, I'm in California. This is Hollywood. Came from a small town in the East Coast. Came down, got my skateboard. My dream was to be a professional skater. And I went, I skated around. And during that time, it was the height of the Hispanic and the Asian war here and the gang. And I didn't know what sweating was. When they asked, did you get sweat? I thought, I'm playing ball, I'm a sweat. I didn't know what that term was. And they asked me where I'm from. Well, they ask you where you're from, you tell them where you're from. I'm from Massachusetts. And they, decided to beat me a little bit and show me a little love. And they asked me again, you want me to go further? I'm from Cambodia. They didn't like that answer. So I decided, I better get out of here while I still have life left. But holding my skateboard, my dream was just skating, skate or die. Oh, I loved it. But God decided he wanted this Asian skinny skater to do something for him. Amen. And God started to change my life and my family's life. Come on. I thank God what proves the resurrection a changed life? Many, many lives here that are changed. Oh, the resurrection proves the deity of Christ. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. John chapter 8, verse 58. And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The resurrection proves the deity of Christ. Death can't hold him down. Oh, he's God. If he was just a sinner, just like me and you, who would still be there in the grave. But death couldn't hold him. Oh, the resurrection proves the deity of Christ. The resurrection proves the word of God. The word of God did what it said. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, for thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered unto you the first of that which I have received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is true. Oh, you can trust the Bible in what it says. The resurrection proves the word of God is true. We see the proof of the resurrection. Next, we see the power of the resurrection. Oh, there's power in the resurrection. We see the power of redemption. The definition of the redemption is to recover from captivity by ransom. To redeem something is to buy back, to get back. Because of the resurrection, all men can be saved. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and heaven is not your home, let me say this. That's why Christ arose again from the dead, so you can have a home in heaven. The Bible says all men are sinners, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, not through good works, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, our world needs Christ. And our world needs hope. That hope comes from Jesus Christ. And there's power in the resurrection. Power in redeeming us. Christ only can redeem us. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, oh, I'll live a good life, I'm a good person. No, we're not good enough to go to heaven, because the Bible says if we stumble at one point, we sin one little sin, we're guilty of all. You say, oh, you don't know the charity that I've given to you. You don't know the good that I've done. I've helped people. I helped the old ladies cross the street. Doesn't matter if you help old guys cross the street. If you're a sinner and you die without Christ, the Bible says we're damned to hell. That's why the resurrection is there, so we can have a home in heaven. So we won't have to be in a place of torment forever and ever and ever. We see the power of redemption. And let me say this. We see the power of forgiveness. Like the prodigal son, the Father is waiting for you. Some of us, we're saved, but we're a little wayward. Let me say this. Come home. The Father really loves you. Come home. It's a place you ought to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Come home. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible says to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, sir. God's waiting there with open arms saying, come on. We're here for you. Yes. You say, oh, I don't feel the Lord anymore. Oh, the song says he was there all the time. He was there all the time waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. We need to get back to where we met God. We need to come back to church. We need to come back to the Father. Yeah. Oh, life is hard. There's a lot of heartaches. God's there. God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. God will always forgive. The Bible says a just man falls seven times and gets back up. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, Peter was there and he said, oh, God, I'll trust in you. I'm not going to forsake you. He says, hey, Peter, I'm glad you said that. This is my own version. I apologize. He says, before this night's over, you're going to deny me three times, buddy. He said, no. Though I die, I'm not going to reject you. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Peter goes and he looked after the cock sounded three times, and he looked, Jesus looked at him, and the Bible says he went away crying bitterly, and he was in depression and despair. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, you probably are there. you can look at this verse, go your way, tell his disciples. And Jesus says, go tell his disciples. He said, wait, not just tell his disciples. He specifically said, and Peter, that he goeth before thee into Galilee. He says, hey, go tell the disciples, I'm risen from the dead. But not only tell the disciples, and Peter. He was specific with Peter because Peter had denied him and had walked away. He says, hey, let Peter know I still love him. I still love him. Ladies and gentlemen, you're away from the Lord. God loves you. He wants you back. Amen. There's power in forgiveness. Yes, sir. There's power in forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. God's there for you. God's there for you. He's there to help you. He's there to carry you through. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. There's power in the resurrection. Maybe today you're not saved. I want to encourage you to receive that power of forgiveness. And then lastly, there's a promise of a great future. Because of the resurrection, there's a promise of the great future. You know what? There's hope. Some of us in here, we're going through a hard time. And we think we're alone. 1 Peter 5, the Bible says, casting all your cares for him on him because he cares for you. There's no hope. There is hope, the song says. So be strong. There's hope. God has sent me to tell you there's hope. And he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds because Jesus lives. There's hope. Maybe you're going financially, it's going hard. Maybe you lost your job. There's hope in Christ. There's a poem that I like. It's called Footprints in the Sand. The poem says, one night I dreamed a dream, and I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark skies flashed scenes of life, scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two set of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the other to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and at the very hardest and saddest times, there was only one footprint in the sand. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most difficult times and troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, Lord, you would leave me. And Christ whispered to her, my precious child, I love you. And I would never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings would I leave you. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, because of the resurrection, there's hope. God is there. There's not only hope here on this earth, there's a hope of heaven. John chapter 14, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe it also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive unto myself that where I am, there ye may be also. I thank God one day heaven's going to be my home.
That's right.
And during the trials of life, during the hard times, during the disease and maybe the cancer and maybe the death in a home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, this is temporary, people. See, our hope is not, I hope I get a brand new car tomorrow. That's wishful thinking. Our hope is the assurance that Christ would do it. That's why our hope is different. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved and you're going through a tough time, your hope should be in the Lord. No more tears, no more pain, no more trouble. Revelation chapter 21, and the Bible says, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things There's power in the resurrection. Let me say this. In closing, I want to challenge us. If we're not saved, let's know Christ as our Savior today.
Yeah.
Because really, once we die, if we don't know Christ, there is no hope. Jesus Christ loved us so much in John 3:16 that he gave his son, God gave his son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to encourage you, let's receive that free gift of Christ. And if we're Christians here, we got to hold on to the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have hope not only on this earth, but we have a hope of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray together.